It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, where we cover breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters. Coming up, are the markets a mess? We'll discuss, does Ferguson have something to do with the NFL protest? We will talk with Phila McLear and Britt McHenry about those stories. And we begin going overseas, North Korea, the travel ban, and all points in between. Dr. Herb London joins me right now. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I want to take you to New York City, where North Korea's foreign minister is making a statement. Let's listen to that.
That this comes from someone who is currently holding the seat of United States presidency. This is clearly a declaration of war.
That was from the North Korean ambassador to the United States earlier today, and what it means. And North Korea has now shown propaganda that shows the sinking of a U.S. aircraft carrier. And of course, Kim Jong-un has been very verbal since the president's speech at the United Nations just a week or so ago. On top of that, the travel ban has been adjusted. Actually, the former one has just ended, and so a new one has been issued, and people are upset about it. But what does it all mean? Let's talk with the director of the London Center for Policy Research, Dr. Herb London, who rejoins us at the Kevin McCullough microphone. Dr. London, thank you for your time. Always good to have you.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice. Thank you.
We're dealing with a lot of things internationally, and it seems like the media is obsessed with the NFL. Dr. London, is that a little bit surreal?
Well, I think it's a little surreal. I mean, obviously, this is a tempest in the teapot. I mean, the important issue that really has to be addressed is what's happening in North Korea, and of course, so many of the trouble spots across the globe. But that's the real issue.
Yeah.
The increase in the rhetoric, by the way, exaggerated rhetoric, it doesn't help. I think that what you have from North Korea at the moment is someone who's talking about a declaration of war. I think that's going a little far. If, in fact, we are at war, then, in fact, the United States has every right to use its force against North Korea. I don't think we're at that point. I do think, however, that the embargo, that is the new sanctions that have been imposed on North Korea, will have a very profound effect on the North Korean economy because all of the transactions are denominated in dollars. Now you'll see the freezing of Asian banks, including the freezing of many Chinese banks that have had negotiations with the North Koreans.
Well, and what that specific soundbite said from earlier today was actually they have taken some umbrage of our jets. Now, what exactly are we doing, Dr. London? Are we flying reconnaissance over North Korean airspace? Are we simply getting close to where they're at? What is it that we are doing there that seems to be making Kim Jong-un a little jumpy?
Well, I mean, he should be jumpy. Number one, the jets that are flying overhead, obviously, have a surveillance role. But in addition, they have another role, and that is a symbolic role. We're merely flying those jets to indicate we can destroy this North Korea. 25 million people could lose their lives. Obviously, you don't want that to happen. And in my judgment, war is the last and the worst option. On the other hand, you can't rule it out. If, in fact, the security of the United States is jeopardized because this madman can put a miniature nuclear device on an ICBM and fly at 3,700 miles to Alaska, that is a very real issue that we have to confront. And the President of the United States has an obligation to do everything in his power to provide for the security of Americans.
Let's talk about some of the developments that have happened. Well, I didn't get your analysis of his UN speech, which a lot of people are pinning Kim Jong-un's current actions on. But in terms of the tone that he set, it was obviously a little bit groundbreaking from the standpoint that he did it at the UN. But it seemed like North Korea was taken by surprise that he was as bold as he was. Is that from lack of boldness in past U.S. leaders, or was it just Kim Jong-un's inability to really grasp what reality is?
Well, if you look at some of the antecedents, most of the speeches given at the U.N. are probably rather plain vanilla. That is, we talk about the United Nations working together, states recognizing the need for some sort of equilibrium in world affairs. This was different. The president of the United States was saying, look, I stand for American sovereignty. I stand for American first. And you should stand for sovereignty in your own nations. The idea that there's somehow an international consortium that works together is, in fact, rather absurd. It hasn't happened. And even though people talk about it, it is obviously not in keeping with the way the world really works. I think Trump was laying out an entirely new understanding of world affairs. And there's no doubt, if you look at Lord Palmerston and the way in which he talked about interests in the 19th century, interests still prevail. This is what nations are all about. They represent their own interests. Whether you're Russia or China or the United States, you represent your own interests. And so I think that Trump was providing a very realistic assessment of what is happening on the world stage. And in my judgment, it was an excellent speech.
He was tough, not just on North Korea, but also Iran. It was fun to watch the kind of cutaway of the camera shots to the delegations of those two countries while he was talking about them, because they clearly looked uncomfortable.
Well, the person who looked most comfortable was Netanyahu, who had a smile on his face as broad as the expressway. I mean, it was extraordinary, because he's saying, here's a president who recognizes the threat that Iran poses in the Middle East. And he also recognizes the fact that with Iran now in the Golan Heights, and with Iran giving Hezbollah more than 100,000 missiles that are aimed at the state of Israel, it's about time that someone pointed to the kind of terror that is promoted by the Iranian government.
We're speaking with Dr. Herb London, who directs the London Center for Policy Research and is an authority on foreign affairs and global events. Dr. London, the travel ban, the original travel ban, expired. Two new countries were added to it, North Korea and Venezuela, that have no notable Muslim support in their nations. And yet the same old actors were out today trying to make the charge that this is an anti-Islam travel ban. Your reaction to, first of all, the president's felt need to reissue it and add the how significant is it that these new countries are included in the mix?
The president made the point that if you cannot vet the people who are coming into the United States because the governments are in some sense illegitimate, then it seems to me that the United States cannot allow this kind of open border position. So he is saying, in effect, we cannot have porous borders, and Venezuela at the moment is a country that's in disarray. And if you're talking about North Korea, you want North Korean agents to enter the United States and provide a certain kind of sleeper movement which could create violence against Americans? Obviously not.
With the addition of these two new countries, what is it that Trump is really trying to target? What are we seeing in the countries that were labeled today, or in the new issuance of the travel ban, that are perceived threats?
Excuse me for interrupting. I was about to say the president is the overarching concern is national security. How do we provide for national security? Do we have people in Venezuela want to come to the United States to cause harm here in America? Do we have agents, North Korean agents, who are eager to enter the United States through our porous borders and become agents against the United States in some fashion? That is really the concern. These are security concerns overwhelmingly. Whether they're from Muslim nations or non-Muslim nations, the question is always the same. Can we vet the people who are coming into the United States? Can we do so accurately? Do we know something about the people who are coming here? And do we in any way threaten the security of the United States and its citizens?
It's very troubling times that we live in, and when you consider the kind of tone deafness of some of our own citizens and as it relates to the freedoms that they have and what we're dealing with, it is really kind of stunning. Today the great debate has not been around these very real threats. Dr. London, they said that there was a massive earthquake near where Kim Jong-un is thought to have detonated a nuclear missile. You think about these types of things going off and the world kind of going on as though nothing else has happened. It's a day in which the serious has become kind of benign, and the silly has replaced it as the stuff of serious.
You know, I had a dear friend who passed this mortal coil a couple of years ago named Neil Postman. And he wrote a book with a very, very interesting title. It was called Amusing Ourselves to Death. We are so preoccupied with the trifling and the trivial that, in fact, we do not recognize what's truly important. A football player's death decide to kneel during the Star Spangled Banner annoys me because it is, of course, the expression of their free speech. I have no problem with that. But owners of teams also have free speech. If they choose to penalize these players, why aren't they entitled to do so?
Yeah,
they have free speech.
And why isn't the president allowed to give his opinion on it? Did he lose his right to free speech as well? Dr.
Exactly.
London, always a pleasure to have you with us. The London Center for Policy Research, one of the go-to authorities on all things foreign affairs. Dr. London, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Kevin. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, former NFL reporter Britt McHenry joins us to expand the discussion about the kneeling controversy and free speech rights in America. Don't go away.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Troubles now on the Brooklyn Down upper level of the Manhattan Bridge. Looks like there's a police department activity. The right lane is out of service. And we're also looking at a ton of volume on the Brooklyn Down Brooklyn Bridge. So by default, the Williamsburg Bridge will be the best way over to Brooklyn. Coming back into Manhattan, though, the Manhattan Bridge looks to be a pretty good option. On the Bell Parkway in Brooklyn, eastbound right by Flatbush Avenue, that's an accident being cleared. In the Bronx, on the Henry Hudson Parkway, northbound right by Broadway, it's a collision being cleared from the right lane of travel. Bruckner Expressway on the eastbound side coming into the Bronx River Parkway, that's an accident along the left side of the roadway. Westbound Cross Bronx slow from the Bronx River Parkway across to the GW Bridge. Northbound Deegan slows RFK Triborough up to the Cross Bronx. Southbound slows from Van Cortlandt Park right down to the Cross Bronx Expressway. As we take a look at your ride across the Hudson River, George Washington Bridge, Manhattan bound, about a 5 to 10 minute delay upstairs. Lincoln Tunnel still under 5 minutes inbound, 20 minutes outbound. Holland Tunnel 20 to 30 minutes out, not bad inbound. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Another Salem Business Breakfast is happening October 19th at Passaic County Community College in Wanacue. You'll learn tips on marketing through social media, online advertising, sports, and radio from president and founder of Blue Rock Energy, Phil Van Horn, digital marketing expert Isaac Rudansky, financial expert Gary Goldberg, and political expert and analyst Jeannie Zeno. AM 970's very own Joe Piscopo and the morning team will be broadcasting live. A gourmet breakfast from DR Catering will be served. Entry is free, but you must register online at am970theanswer.com. Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first 5 callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Mike Connors, host of Ask the Lawyer and published in New York Magazine's top-rated lawyers. Whether assisting a client with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, nursing home plan, or other matter, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of their clients' rights and interests. Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, P. PLLC has dedicated attorneys that can help you with estate planning, elder law, and probate. They listen to their clients to learn about their families, their financial picture, and their long-term goals to create a comprehensive plan to meet your objectives. They assist with the complex tax matters that are often involved in estate planning and probate. Contact Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law PLLC with offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Midtown Manhattan, and Staten Island to schedule a free consultation with an attorney. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. And listen to Ask the Lawyer right here every Saturday evening at 6.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
We had to do it just because of, you know, the tyranny that we face behind POTUS, you know. And it's sad that we have to go through stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we unite as one. Nobody's going to divide us. And that's what we've been.
So they faced tyranny from the president and united the country as one. I'm tired of trying to keep up with the dot-to-dot on all this. It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Glad you're with us. Yesterday was an immeasurably sad day for America. It's a sad day on so many reasons. And coming up in my next segment, Phelan McAleer, who produced the play Ferguson, which is based on 5,000 pages of grand jury testimony in the aftermath of the Michael Brown shooting and the hands up, don't shoot phrase that gave birth to Black Lives Matter and the entire lie that Colin Kaepernick took his knee on last year. He's going to be with us to explain a little bit of the history of all this. But first up, Rick McHenry is the former NFL reporter for ESPN. And she has been with us a couple of times this football season already. And Britt, I appreciate your willingness on short notice to be back with us again today. Pretty stomach-churning weekend, as best I could make it out when it came to the entire episode of what happened with the NFL yesterday.
Best way to describe it. I have covered the NFL for 10 years, really. I mean, it was in school and right out immediately covering the National Football League, and before that being a diehard fan growing up and watching the Miami Dolphins at home with my father. I have not missed a Sunday in some capacity of watching a game in 15 years, most of which, again, I've spent on the sidelines. I did not watch yesterday. And no, it's not a boycott. I'm not that type. I just felt like, okay, these players are making demonstrations that are more divisive than any claims of division that currently may exist in this country. And if this is their quote-unquote protest, which, by the way, kind of does nothing, I don't know what putting a knee down is really going to do for the communities.
Right.
It's more like they go back to their Mercedes-Benzes and Bentleys and drive around town and go home and live the life of millionaires, which they are. If they're going to do something divisive like this, I am going to take my right as an American to just enjoy a Sunday away from the television and not give a rating viewership towards it. So I didn't. And I think one of the most powerful statements I got was from a police officer. His handle is actually LionsFan886. And he wrote a note. And I love this because he said, I don't determine my respect for the flag and what it means based on the words of a politician that anger me. And it's so true. And I'm sure you've received a lot of messages, too, about this. It's just really sad that this is doing nothing but dividing our country.
It's a mixed bag for me, because while Mike Tomlin early on yesterday made the announcement that they weren't going to come out for the national anthem, which, by the way, the rule book for the NFL on pages A62 and A63 clearly states that they are required to be there. Now, I know it's a relatively young rule, I think just since 2009, but if you're going to just, you know, ignore the rule, then change the rule book, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. But Mike Tomlin says, you know, we're not going to become political. Okay, this is an insane statement, because by not bringing your team out, you're now boycotting the anthem, which demonstrates a political position. Yet in the midst of that kind of craziness, you have the story of Mr. Villanueva, which was quite inspiring to me. So, like I said, it's a mixed bag. I see some good things coming out of this, but overall, I'd rather not be dealing with it.
Yeah, and I actually saw remarks post-game from Mike Tomlin in a way, throwing some shade subtly at Villanueva for...
Oh, he totally did. Standing. He expected him to participate.
Yeah, it's like, really, Tomlin, I'd expect you to participate and do three tours like your player did for the Army and actually serve for this country, but you make your money in football, so why don't we stick to that? It was absolutely political, and the picture that was making the rounds of just an entire sideline absent from the anthem, they weren't the only team to do that. I believe two others did as well, including
the Seahawks Titans. And the Titans. Yep.
Yeah, which... Titans, hello, in the heart of Nashville, country music Nashville. Think about your base here. Think about the people that are coming to those games. It's just a slap in the face. And I saw something this morning that I shared a Washington Post article. Apparently Josh Norman, the corner for the Redskins, went on a 20-minute rant after their Sunday night football game and said that President Donald Trump isn't welcome in D.C. You know what's so great about that, Kevin? Pre-game, when they locked arms, Norman was locking arms with Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, who gave $1 million to Trump's campaign. So clearly, at least one person, the person who signed your $75 million paycheck for 5 years, does think he's welcome here and actually helped him to get to that Oval Office.
Well, but even in that, I thought Roger Goodell was a little bit political by going after Bob Kraft and Tom Brady and asking for them to make statements. And he got a lot of owners to actually craft statements yesterday, knowing that Kraft was a Trump supporter specifically. I think Goodell may be the most incompetent commissioner in pro sports at the moment. But I felt like that every time someone was saying yesterday, well, we're not, we don't want to take a position. Look, they did not allow the Dallas Cowboys to put an arm-in-arm decal that said nothing more than arm-in-arm on the back of their helmet when they wanted to stand with solidarity with a black police commissioner in Dallas after he lost five of his force protecting a Black Lives Matter protest over the issue of police brutality. The double standard that is emanating from this league is it's sickening, Britt.
I'm just like revving. I've been waiting to go off about Commissioner Roger Goodell because, first of all, in his statement saying this league, and I'm paraphrasing, does many things for the forces of good, really? Because I think that same league has been highly publicized in the last 3 years for several cases of domestic violence. In fact, they weren't going to take really any action against Ray Rice other than a two-game suspension for beating his wife to a point of she was unconscious in an elevator. They weren't going to take really any measures other than a slap on the wrist until it came to light in video. And there's other examples of there's been theft in the league. This is the same man who claims he's not an expert in football, Kevin. He said this on a national network, and he's the one in charge of running it. It's a sham.
It is, but Britt McHenry, we appreciate your analysis of it, and thanks for being with us. You can read her at thefederalist.com, and she's got some other projects in the work, but former ESPN, NFL, and Major League Baseball reporter and commentator, Britt McHenry, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Phelan McLear joins me next. How is the take a knee controversy related to Michael Brown and Ferguson? That discussion coming up next. Don't go away.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
Sunshine and 85 degrees on this Monday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Authorities say a man who was barricaded inside his luxury apartment in Harrison, New Jersey, is dead of a gunshot wound. Officials say a SWAT team responded to assist with a barricaded suspect in an apartment on Frankie Rogers Boulevard early this morning. When officers got inside, the man was found with a single gunshot wound. Officials say his death does not appear to be suspicious at this time. Mayor de Blasio says the case of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who's now headed to prison, is very, very sad.
It's a human tragedy for his family, for him, and someone who, at one point, I think had a lot to offer in public service.
De Blasio defeated Weiner in the Democratic primary 4 years ago to become mayor. And speaking of Mayor de Blasio, he expects thousands of Puerto Ricans to come stay in New York City as they escape the devastation of Hurricane Maria. And Ethan Harp reports more New Yorkers are headed to Puerto Rico.
We as New Yorkers are going to have to be there for Puerto Rico for a long time.
Mayor de Blasio says the Big Apple is working with its sister city, San Juan.
Right now, there are 58 New York City personnel in Puerto Rico. FEMA has just requested additional personnel to go down immediately.
He thinks in the coming weeks, a wave of Maria survivors will make their way here.
Obviously, our public schools are ready to receive any children who come.
New York City Health and Hospitals will take the lead helping people with medical battles, Maria-related or otherwise.
In sports, Yankees defeated the Royals 11-3 at the stadium. Aaron Judge hit his 49th and 50th homers of the season, and number 50 is the most ever by a rookie. In game one of two today at Citi Field, Braves on top of the Mets 1-0 in the fourth inning. Taking a look at the traffic, in New Jersey, westbound Turnpike Bay extension on the Bay Bridge, an accident being cleared. Eastbound, some volume coming into 14C. Outbound Holland Tunnel, 30 minutes. Citybound, not bad. Outbound Lincoln Tunnel, about a 15-minute wait. Mostly cloudy tonight, some patchy fog overnight, low 69. Foggy tomorrow morning, then sunshine for the afternoon, high of 81. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough, again with practical help for your financial portfolio from Gary Goldberg. Gary Goldberg Financial Services is the name, and ggfs.com is the website. Gary, there's been a lot of discussion about how we can best help our kids and grandkids prepare for their future financial needs. You like the Roth IRA a lot.
I do. If your kids or grandkids work during the summer, and let's say they will mowing lawns or working as a counselor or doing some odd jobs, if they have earned income of up to $5,500, they could set that aside in a Roth IRA. Now, realistically, they may not want to do that. They may want to take their earnings and spend it at some place. It won't be Toys R Us necessarily, but they're going to spend it somewhere. You as a grandparent or a parent can do it for them. And let me give you a little statistic. If you put $5,500 in for a teenager, if it earns 7% a year with no additional contributions, by the time their retirement age, 65, it's going to be $1 million. They're going to walk down the fairway of their golf club and say, looking up to the sky, Grandma and Grandpa, thank you so much for what you did.
What a great
help. It's a great idea, and we'll help people do it if they'd like.
What a great gift to give your kids and grandkids. Friends, take Gary up on the offer. They'll help you set it up and make it real simple to walk through. 800-377-5757 is the number. That's 800-377-5757. Give them $5,500. Turn it into a $1 million retirement for them. What a great idea. 800-377-5757 or ggfs.com.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad you're with us. It was a crazy weekend across America because the number one news story didn't become the travel ban or North Korea or any of the major things that impact Americans in terms of public policy. It was the back and forth between the NFL and the president, who had differing opinions about the appropriateness of whether or not players in the Professional Football League should be protesting at the cost of the national anthem and the American flag. And whatever your opinion on that, my next guest says they're missing one of the major points, which is that this is all built on a lie. Phelan McAleer is the author of Gosnell, also the one who exposed in the film the incredible atrociousness that the famed, now infamous, abortionist did. But he's also got a play that's headed to New York City that actually has a connection to this. Phelan, welcome back to the Kevin McCullough microphone. It's good to have you, sir.
Kevin, it's really good to be back. Thanks for having me on.
So if I connect the dots correctly, Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee last year because of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And Black Lives Matter became a household name because of a thing called Hands Up, Don't Shoot. And Hands Up, Don't Shoot became part of the narrative from the Ferguson controversy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
as we learned, it was all based on utter falsehood. Please explain.
Yeah, so Hands Up, Don't Shoot, the whole Black Lives Matter came out of the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. There would be no Black Lives Matter if it hadn't been for Michael Brown in Ferguson and the murder of Michael Brown in Ferguson when he did Hands Up, But Don't Shoot. I have read every page of the grand jury testimony, 5,000 pages. It is a complete lie. It's the biggest, funny enough, it's the biggest example of fake news in recent years, the whole Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Not one witness said he had his hands up, don't shoot, when they were put in, under the spotlight in the grand jury, or even before that, when they were no longer interviewed by the media, but they were interviewed by the FBI or the local police. They admitted to lying to support the community. They admitted lying because they wanted to be on TV. They admitted lying to cover up their own criminality. You know, it was outrageous. There was one guy who went on the media and said he saw Michael Brown, heard the shots, looked out, saw the shooting, went downstairs and saw Michael Brown be shot on the ground with his hands up. It turns out he couldn't physically have done that. He wasn't able to see from his apartment. He wasn't able to go down in the time required. The media reported these incidents like they were true. This myth spread, Black Lives Matter spread. Colin Kaepernick is protesting because of the Black Lives Matter. It's all based on a lie.
Well, and in the reality of that, that even puts further definition onto the issue of, you know, whether or not people should be using the American anthem and the site of the American flag as to whether or not that's even an appropriate place to hold such protests. But it is intriguing, and I wanted my listeners to hear that because what you're citing is the actual testimony of the actual eyewitnesses as they were required to tell it truthfully to the grand jury, which we now know. That even Eric Holder's investigation, who was the Obama attorney general at the time, came out and said the police officer's conduct was above board, followed the instructions to the T. And we know he lost his job and he was run out of town and had to move elsewhere. This is all built on a lie. And now it's ripping apart the sport that is uniquely American, and it's really sad. But you have a connection to this story, and you want more people to be educated about what did happen in Ferguson. Tell us about your project.
Yeah, so I have a thing called verbatim theater, a verbatim play. And so what I've done is I've taken the actual grand jury testimony, which is a very dramatic telling of the last few hours of Michael Brown's life from multiple eyewitness accounts. So I've taken those accounts and crafted that into a play, into a drama, but only using the accounts. I haven't added any commas, any paragraphs, any exclamations. And it's a compelling play. And I'm bringing it to New York from October 19th to November 5th. We had a staged reading of the play in L.A. a year or so ago. 9 members of the cast walked out during rehearsals because the truth of eyewitness. And many of these eyewitnesses are minorities, of course, because they lived in Ferguson. So the truth of these eyewitnesses didn't match what they wanted the truth to be. So they couldn't handle that. They walked out. These professional actors walked out. So I've got a good cast in New York. I think they're all on board. And I really want your listeners to come and see the play or help make the play happen.
And explain how they can do that.
Well, come to the play. It's on October 19th to November 5th. Go to FergusonThePlay.com. If you can't go, you can buy a ticket there. If you can't buy a ticket there, if you can't go, you can donate to make sure this happens. I was inspired to bring it to New York by the way the cast from Hamilton treated Vice President Mike Pence. Yes. They were sending out a message there, conservatives not welcome. In New York.
But the truth should always be welcome, and the truth is what your play pursues because that's all it deals with is verbatim. Okay, so FergusonThePlay.com. Get your tickets. I'll be in attendance on opening night. It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Do you have lower back pain? Have you had it for a while? Has it been something that's nagged at you and started to get worse as time goes by? You know you should do something about it, but you haven't yet. And by the time you do, guess what? Your doctor is probably going to say, oh, let's try some shots, or maybe it's even surgery. Friends, before you do any of that, before you get caught in that cycle of permanent medical options. Why don't you try the 100% top shelf program at the Brooklyn Spine Center? See, if you've got back pain, there's a reason for it. And if your spine's not healthy, you can do things that bring your body back into alignment and back into naturally good health. Their decompression machine has helped so many people, some even regain the opportunity to walk again. So why don't you call and set your appointment today? 800-707-5010. If Dr. Melinda Keller can help you, she'll tell you. And if she can't, she'll tell you that as well. 800-707-5010, 800-707-5010, 800-707-5010, or go to their website at brooklynspinecenter.com.
Here's attorney Michael Barish, whose law firm Barish McGarry represents more people in the 9/11 community than any other firm in the country. They're dedicated to fighting for those who've been devastated by 9/11.
There's a misconception that health care and compensation is only available to firefighters and police officers. The government created the Victim Compensation Fund and set aside $7 billion for responders, as well as construction workers, downtown residents, and office workers, even students and teachers who were exposed to the toxic dust, which has been linked to respiratory illnesses and 68 cancers. My firm is honored to represent these people. We're dedicated to helping everyone get the compensation and health care they're entitled to. It's not too late, but you must register before the deadlines.
If you or someone you know was working, living, or going to school in Lower Manhattan between 9/11 and May 2002, urge them to learn more about their legal rights before time runs out. Visit WTCLawyers.com or for a free consultation, call 212-385-8000. 212-385-8000.
Today we're talking about mortgages. If you're looking to obtain a home loan, Emmanuel Katechis from United Mortgages here to help answer some questions. Emmanuel, what's currently happening in the mortgage industry?
There are many great things. For instance, one of the best new products is HARP. Right now, someone can refinance even if you owe more than what your house is worth. Also, United Mortgage can get you into a property with little or no money down.
Can you still get a mortgage even if you have bad credit?
Absolutely. Right now, even if you have a low credit score, we may be able to help you with various programs, such as FHA or VA.
What separates United Mortgage from other mortgage companies?
What separates us is service, hands down. We are here 7 days a week, from early morning to late evening. We understand that this process can be very intimidating. That is why our team has been trained in customer service and products. We are here for you even after the loan closes.
Call United Mortgage at 888-888-5721. 888-888-5721. United Mortgage is licensed by the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Department of Banking. 888-888-5721.
With free next-day delivery from Staples, you can run your business like a pro. You can guarantee the marketing department that they'll get their supplies tomorrow, and guarantee the accounting department that they'll be delivered free. With free next-day delivery, you'll have the ability to move deadlines up and adjust budgets down. Go to Staples.com and get the office essentials you need delivered next day for free. Staples. It's pro time. Orders over $49.99. Place by 5 p.m. Excludes weekends and holidays. Eligible items only.
Happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So important to not lose track of the big stuff. And as I was speaking with Herb London a little bit earlier today, and if you missed that conversation, you can always get the podcast at TheBingeThinker.com. But, you know, the NFL controversy, really as much oxygen as it has occupied in the media space today, very minor in terms of actual importance to people's lives. But something that is significant is that the little rocket man in North Korea, to pun the president's words, is making noise, and he's trying to have an impact on global events. And as most financial advisors will tell you, and everybody that I ever have talk on this show about money, North Korea and what they decide to do is gonna have an impact. David Fisher is here from Landmark Capital, and he is no exception. By the way, landmarkgold.com is the website, 844-604-2575. They've got a great newsletter that's just coming out, and it's their newest edition. You can get that for free when you call and request it. Also, The Coming Bail-In. It's in the sixth edition. You need to get a copy of that for yourself. But, David, welcome back. Let me start on North Korea. They said, in fact, we have the soundbite. Alex, from earlier today, take a listen.
I want to take you to New York City, where North Korea's foreign minister is making a statement. Let's listen to that.
That this comes from someone who is currently holding the seat of United States presidency. This is clearly a declaration of war.
So, David, there you go. The interpreter saying that the U.S. has declared war. What do you make of that?
Officially, we haven't declared war, but that's the rhetoric that goes on between North Korea's leadership and the United States, and they misinterpret our actions of trying to reel them in their nuclear capabilities. But, you know, what was said is the United States didn't declare war, but, you know, President Trump was very strong in his words, and the North Korea official, the foreign minister, equivalency of Rick Tillerson in our country, to put into perspective, Ri Young-ho said that the United States has declared war on our country, and we will have every right to now make countermeasures, including the right to shoot down United States strategic bombers, even when they are not inside the airspace bordering our country. That's a big, strong statement. You know, last week on Saturday, we flew B-1 bombers in international airspace on the east coast of North Korea as a symbolic show to our military force. If that statement happened, if we flew that same route, they'd be shooting at our airplanes, which would totally escalate to war.
Sure. And how is this affecting what people are thinking about financially today? How's it impacted the markets, for example?
Well, initially the Dow was up a little bit, but when the announcement came out, the Dow went down over 100 points. It's now starting to recover from that. It's still down 70 points. Gold shot right up over $10. You know, so it's having, you know, immediate effects on the markets. Hopefully the markets, you know, simmer down and don't just move because of this.
Just to be clear, you're not recommending that investors buy gold and sell stocks specifically based on what's going on with North Korea.
No, this is what I call the wild card. You don't want to invest in any markets based upon a wild card, whether it be stocks or gold. Invest on the fundamentals, and the fundamentals for gold is really simple. Moving for, you know, in fact, Twitter puts a poll out really that tells the whole story. What's the biggest risk to the rally? 17% say the Fed. 21% say it's an ETF meltdown that could happen. Only 27% say I might not want to invest in stocks because of North Korea. But the biggest reason to be concerned about being overweight in stocks is because of not having a tax reform or government moving forward and getting some things done. So that's some of the fundamentals of gold, too. You know, you invest in gold, but at the end of the day, you invest in something that's going to go up. People want to make money in their investment. And the fundamentals that drive gold is the uncertainty of the Fed, where they raise, cause inflation, or go into a recession, where we have a high debt structure, uncertainty. The wild card is North Korea. I think it's going to be with us. It will cause gold to go up, but that's not the only reason to invest.
Sure. Well, if people had invested at the beginning of the year, what would they be up on their gold investment now as compared to stocks?
13.7% in gold and 12.8% in the Dow.
So still two bull markets that are running the course for the year so far.
Yes, and this is because partially what I predicted, that the dollar's going to start to move down, and it's down 12.2% year to date. So gold is going up because we're lowering the value of the dollar because the world is selling dollar assets.
Yeah. Now, speaking of some of the other stuff that you've talked about this year, a repeal and replace measure, not looking good in the Congress. They're trying to add sweeteners. I don't know if it's going to get through or not. If I had to vote, if I had to give people a guess on Fox News today, I would tell them probably not going to happen. What does it mean if we don't get the Graham-Cassidy Act replaced or passed?
I don't think we're going to get it passed. It's very murky right now. You know, but they've been trying in the House. They've tried over 50 times to repeal or amend the Affordable Care Act since it was passed in October of 2009. This is just another push for it. I don't think, you know, this really what this says is health care costs a lot of money, and there's a lot of uncertainty when we want to have a national health care plan. And that's what really this picture says to me, Kevin. We cannot afford a national health care plan. Look at all the fighting back and forth and what it will take to get this thing done. I think eventually we're going to get there, but I don't know if it's going to happen this year, and it might not happen in the next couple of years. It just costs a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, something that would help is if we had money in our pocket, and tax reform could help us with that. What's the likelihood that that gets done?
Well, that's another challenge. You know, they first wanted it back in the first 100 days, then, you know, halfway through the year, and now they're saying by the end of the year. But there's a plan that was just released called by the Big Six Republicans, Ryan, McConnell, Steve Mnuchin, Gary Cohen, Senator Orrin Hatch, and Kevin Brady. It's a complicated deal. It's different from what was being campaigned upon with President Trump. It doesn't look to me, as I've seen it, like it's really creating a huge focus and incentive on the middle class. There's things I like about it. It does change some brackets from 7 brackets down to 3. It makes it more simple. It takes the top individual tax cut from 39.6% down to 35%, and it cuts the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 20%, which is what Mnuchin was pushing for.
Sure.
There is some framework to keep high-end wealth and producers from artificially lowering their tax bases in this. I like that. But it doesn't really focus as much as I thought it would on the middle income.
All right. And that's the problem. 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com. I'm Kevin McCullough.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Traffic is heavy and slow in Newark on the eastbound side of the Bay Extension of the Turnpike as you go east of the main line out to the base of the Bay Bridge. That's all because of a broken down tractor trailer being cleared from the right lane. Westbound, we're slow from, let's say, 14B in Jersey City, right across the exit 14. Both spurs of the Turnpike, not so great. Southbound Western Spur loaded up from north of 18W down towards 15W. Eastern Spur, by default, the better spur. We're slow from exit 17 down towards 15W. Then the pace does pick up. Parkway southbound, we're slow 143 down towards 136. Northbound, we're slow Union tolls on up towards exit 153. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson River. At the moment, George Washington Bridge, really not a bad ride on the span into or out of the city. Lincoln Tunnel on the way into Manhattan, we're looking at about a 20-minute delay. 30 minutes back to New Jersey, 45 minutes to an hour on the outbound side of the Holland Tunnel. And keep in mind what I said about the westbound Bay Extension loaded up from 14B to the main line in Newark. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first 5 callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Another AM 970 Business Networking Breakfast is scheduled for Thursday, October the 19th. Public broadcaster Steve Adubato will lead the discussion on growing your business and breaking through the clutter of digital and traditional marketing. Hear from digital strategy and marketing expert Isaac Radansky, founder of Adventure Media and author of 3 number one best-selling courses on Google AdWords, remarketing, and landing page design. Also hear from Phil Van Horn, president and CEO of Blue Rock Energy, Jeannie Zeno, professor of political science at Iona College and frequent Fox contributor, and also Gary Goldberg, founder and CEO of Gary Goldberg Financial Services, about how to establish a brand and market through social media, online advertising, sports, and radio. Joe Piscopo, my morning man, and the team will be broadcasting live. A gourmet breakfast from DR Catering will be served. It's happening Thursday, October the 19th at Passaic County Community College in Wanacue. Entry is free, but you must register online at am970theanswer.com. The Salem Business Breakfast is sponsored by Blue Rock Energy.
Catch Jay Sekulow live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad you're with us. Thank you for being here every single day. And I want you to know about something that you may have heard some of my colleagues talking about. Mike Gallagher mentioning it yesterday or earlier today. Mr. Piscopo will be talking about it probably tomorrow. But it's something that we're excited about, and I want you to check it out as well. There is a new movie that is coming to theaters October 3rd, 4th, and 5th called Mully. M-U-L-L-Y, and it tells the story of a guy who went from being an orphan to literally one of the wealthiest men in the world. He happened to live on the African continent, and he happened to decide to grow the world's largest family. It's an incredible biography about this guy, and Focus on the Family, which is headed by Jim Daly, has partnered in the production of this film. If you buy a ticket online, by the way, they're going to donate $15 in your name to the Global Orphan Care Fund, and that's going to help take care of orphans both in the United States and at Mully Children's Family. That's the organization he started in Africa. He's raised more than 12,000 abandoned and destitute kids. 12,000. You think your dinner table's full. But that's the story of this guy, and it's coming to theaters October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and you can get your tickets at mullymovie.com, M-U-L-L-Y-M-O-V-I-E, mullymovie.com. Make sure that you check it out. Focus on the Family also helped produce Irreplaceable and The Dropbox, and they are very proud of this film, and they want you to be part of it. And I've seen it. It's an amazing, touching film. You'll have a hard time keeping your eyes dry in the process. Speaking of dry eyes, yesterday, in the flap of all this resist and protest and do this and do that, of which I've written a piece, by the way, How Take a Knee Was Built on a Lie. You can read that at thebingethinker.com. I got a little choked up because I got word before the games started that Mike Tomlin had told the press that he was not going to allow the Pittsburgh Steelers to go out on the field. That he said inside the locker room, look, you guys are going to figure this out, and if you're not united, then we're just going to not go out for the national anthem at all. And as they debated on Saturday afternoon, and it went into a good length of time, they weren't able to come to any clarity on it. But Coach had made it clear to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 100% participation. Nobody does their own thing. But somebody forgot to tell former Army Ranger Alejandro Villanueva that. Because when the national anthem began, the Steelers were in the locker room, except for the 6'9" former Army Ranger who did 3 tours serving his country. He could not let that Star-Spangled Banner not be saluted, both the flag and the song. And so he stood by himself, lone on his sideline, hand over heart, saluting and giving his love for his country as he had done in uniform. I'm Kevin McCullough.